Alrighty, right, here we go. Good afternoon, folks. Thanks for listening. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 102.7. Check us out on the web at radiowaterloo.ca. Today is episode number 211. It's a kind of a cool day. We're looking for some mild weather coming up next 2 to 3, 4 days. So that's good. Days are getting longer. And just so glad you could listen in for a while today. It's a great show today. Sitting across from me today is Janet Fleming and Sue Hilborn. And we're going to talk about theater and farm stuff and all kinds of cool things. Let's start off as usual with a song. And Sue, would you like to tell us who this is and what song title you chose?
Thanks, Jeff. So this is from a CD by Allison Lupton. And we're going to start off with a jig and a waltz. The Collies Jig and Dean James McIntosh. Reel or jig. Anyways, upbeat music.
Upbeat music. Okay, folks, stay locked in. We'll be right back. We'll see you shortly.
Thank you. This is Amy Beth Brubaker from Elmira. You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, you're listening to The Agricultural Show on Sound FM 102.7, CKMS.
Alrighty, there we're back. And you know what, folks, thanks for listening in. We're just glad that you can spend a little time with us here on a Tuesday from noon to 2 with The Agriculture Show. And that was a great song. Sue, you want to tell us a little bit about that before we talk with you a bit more? Who is that girlie?
So that is Allison Lupton, and Allison Lupton grew up near Embro in the township of Zora. And my friend Janet, who is with me today, is Allison Lupton is her favorite artist, and I saw Allison a number of times live and have enjoyed her music and her talent. And she has a lovely singing voice, which we'll hear a little bit later on. And yeah, so we live in Esor Tavistock, which is near Zora, on a farm, and it's nice to see young people from the agriculture community go and become successful.
Yeah. Tell us about yourself first. How many people sit around the Christmas table at the Hilburn family dinner?
My husband Don and I farm together in near Woodstock, and we have a daughter, Victoria. She is an engineer. Don is also an engineer, and our son Rich lives in Ottawa. If we're lucky, he joins us for Christmas dinner. And our younger son Andrew lives in Woodstock and is at Christmas dinner as well. And we have an extended family, grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and stuff.
And Janet, yourself, how many people sit around the Fleming Christmas table?
Well, we would have 12, five grandchildren in there, and 13 if we count the dog.
What's the doggy's name?
We have a new dog, and her name is Ginger, and she is a cockapoo, and she just arrived a couple weeks ago as we had to put an escapoo down. So.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have great fun talking about today's topic, but besides we're going to talk about Kai the Barbarian, a great play being put on in Embro. What else do you guys do for fun? Do y'all like going rock climbing, or do you like...
Well, Don and I do quite a bit of traveling. Actually, last year in February, we went to Tanzania,
yeah,
and with Farm Radio International, and saw a lot of interesting farm operations, mostly run by women, and it was all very hands-on and not too much mechanization. So you could see the advantages of mechanizing something like that, but then that takes people's jobs away. So everything was being done with a hoe, and very odd to see people trying to grow corn when there's elephants walking through their cornfield. But and, of course, we saw a lot of the Maasai who are herding people.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'd have like 500 cows, and I have no idea how they kept them all together, but it's interesting to see that.
Yeah. How about yourself, Janet? You know, any hobbies you're mucking around with these days?
Well, Bill and I were retired dairy farmers, so we are very fortunate to have a family cottage at Long Point.
Mm-hmm.
The original one was built in 1938. And the cows used to get milked really quickly on Sunday morning, and we all scooted off to the cottage for the day and then came back and milked the cows again. So since then, about 4 years ago, we rebuilt it. It's winterized, and we go all year round, and it's our Florida.
Very nice.
And it's beautiful.
And yes. You're all pretty close to the lake where you guys all live.
Just an hour from our door.
Yeah, very nice. Mm. Oxford's a beautiful county, handy to all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's play another song. We'll come back. We'll talk more directly about today's great topic. You're going to bring along some really cool news and lots of stuff. And what is the second song you want to pick here, Sue?
The Oak and the Laurel.
Okay, and this is song number 5, I think, right?
Yep.
And any other stuff in the liner notes about Oak and the Laurel that you want to talk about?
I put the liner notes away, so I don't know. I'll look it up and report back.
Okay, and this is...
Ian Bell in this one, too, so...
And this is Allison Lupton.
Allison Lupton.
And where did you know where she's calling home now? Does it say there at all?
You said Cambridge.
I'm pretty sure she lives on West River Road, yeah. Galt, Cambridge, and she's a teacher, music teacher in Galt, Cambridge. I'm not sure which school.
Okay, sounds great. We'll let our listeners follow up if they like. There's so many resources out there to follow up on great music, and we love Canadian artists. Okay, we'll be back real soon.
I'm Rory Box from Scotland. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
This has been Steve Fonger from Kerwood for radio station 102.7 CKMS, Radio Waterloo.
Alrighty then. Great song. Thanks for listening today, folks. Agriculture Show. Today's guests, Janet Fleming and Sue Hilborn. We got to know a little bit about these two. They got stuff to go to and family doing stuff. And we're in our second part of our show. And we're going to talk about today's main topic, Kai the Barbarian. I hate to even just preempt it that way as much as that. But please, can you tell us what's going on here? What can we look forward to in the next, month, I think it is?
Yeah, so Kai the Barbarian was a... So George Leslie Mackay, who grew up just actually...
So what we should do is tell people what it is first.
Okay, so Kai the Barbarian, the George Leslie Mackay story, is a play that was commissioned by Tourism Oxford and written by William Butt.
All right.
And he went to Taiwan, William Butt went to Taiwan to research this guy that everyone always says that he did such great things. And when Bill went there, he was just amazed. Like, there's so many buildings with Mackay's name on it, and there's banners on the sides of the streets, and there's stamps with his name on. There's a national day. And this is a guy that grew up in Zora Township, or East Zora Tavistock. It's so amazing.
And this is a put on a production. Is there the group that's putting on this production... are they a local group? Or are they a municipal initiative? Is it you mentioned Tourism Ontario a little bit?
Yeah, well, Tourism Oxford.
About?
Yeah.
So, how did this come about? Who are these people?
So Bill Butt, after he got the play all written, then he needed to have someone put it on, and they tried a couple times, and then they met, came to see my husband Don and I. Don and Bill had been in Mozambique together with a little church thing, and we said, well, we would help produce it, but we would have to find our own actors, etc. So through Thistle Theatre in Embro, they've given us a theatre space in the Embro Town Hall, which is a really historic old building, recently has been made totally accessible, which is very exciting. And through the connection to Mozambique, the Butts were able to get Edward, who is a Stratford Festival director, to come and direct our play.
Very nice.
And he's doing amazing things. And our musical director is Daniel Van Winden, and he's from a very musical family. And interdispersed between the text in the show is parts of 22 Presbyterian hymns sang in four-part harmony, sometimes in Taiwanese and Gaelic. Mm. So it is, it's a very interesting play. There will be nobody falling asleep at this one. And it has a very interesting history.
Mm. That's what a great initiative. Janet, are you doing much of this stuff too? How do you fit into this one besides being a great supporter today?
I'm just a great companion to Sue. Whenever she asks, I come along. But I think you should tell them why it's called Kai the Barbarian and not Mackay the Barbarian.
So yeah, good. Taiwanese people can't say the letter M, so they always used to call him Kai. They called him Kai Bok Sue. And anybody that came from a country away was always called a barbarian, like from the Barbary Coast. So that's why they called it Kai the Barbarian.
Right.
And he was quite the guy. He did a lot of really good things. He made people Christians, but that was not his main reason. His main reason was to just help people within that society. And he ended up marrying a Taiwanese lady, Minnie, and together they end up building 30 churches and a university and a hospital. He used to pull teeth and administrate a little bit of quinine to keep the malaria under control, and just made quite a contribution to Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting story because I think a lot of Canadians are probably aware of the Norman Bethune story.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds so much the same. Is that a comparison fair?
Well, Bethune did a few more. He was more of a doctor, he did blood transfusions and that type of thing. I think he was one of the first people to do that. But Mackay was, the interesting thing about him is he, when he decided about the age of 9, he wanted to go and become a missionary, and he went off to Princeton College, and he went off to finish up his education in Edinburgh. So he was a very smart guy, but he always wanted to be a missionary. And when he came back, this is one of my favorite parts of this play, came back to the Foreign Mission Committee and said, I want to become a foreign missionary. And they said, well, you can't. We've never sent a foreign missionary. We have no foreign missionaries. We have no foreign missions. Like, we can't. We, what? And you kind of wonder, well, why were they a committee if they didn't have any right to send people off to the world? But there's lots of comedy in it, and it's there's lots of information that comes through it. And as I say, there's this lovely music.
Good stuff. And when is this all happening? Where should people go for tickets and things?
So we have a Facebook page, which is called Kai the Barbarian.
Okay.
The George Leslie Gamont Kai story. And also the Embro Thistle Theatre has a bit of a link on their website, which is thistle-theatre.com. And the dates are March 21st to 31st. And the reason we started on a Wednesday night, March the 21st, is that is Mackay's birthday.
Oh, goodness.
And if he was born 174 years ago on March the 21st. Yeah. So every night, we're trying to change it up a bit by having a local dignitary read the Oliver Mowat speech. Oliver Mowat was the Premier of Ontario and a representative from North Oxford. And he presented a check to the Mackays for $6,000 to go back, which is huge money, to go back and make Oxford College. So every night we have a local dignitary reading the Oliver Mowat speech. And the first night, Ernie Hardiman, our MPP, is going to be playing the part of Oliver Mowat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have 20 people in our cast, which is huge, a lot of people to keep organized. And then we have quite a large crew besides that. So
you're reading my mind. I kind of wondered how many people was doing this, but everyone's probably wearing several hats too.
They are. Our choir people play many parts in the show. And my husband Don right now is home building a cannon. So there's also a cannon in the show. So and because the Taiwanese are so into puppets, there's a little bit of shadow puppets in it as well. And there's slides of different parts of some old pictures of Taiwan back in the day when Mackay went there 170 years ago. And there's also some pictures from modern day Taiwan in it as well. So it's an interesting show.
Well, I think it's what a great idea. I'm just so glad that, you know, Oxford County, like lots of places, are just exploring their past, making a community building activity out of it to educate and provide entertainment to anybody so inclined. And it's just really good fun to hear you guys stepping up and doing something interesting like this.
Yeah, well, it's actually quite interesting because where he was born is just up the road from us, and there's this cairn there that keeps falling. It falls down, and what it is they build it up, and then the people from Taiwan just want to be so connected to Mackay, they go and dig out little stones that is in the mortar, and so then the thing keeps falling down, and they can't keep it going because everybody just wants a little bit of Mackay.
Right.
So I mean, to think we have people that are that revered lived in our community, and yet we really don't know that much about them. So it's you know, let's just get to know a little bit more about our history. It's a great opportunity.
It's funny, you can live in an area all for a long time and not realize just how someone else from thinks this is just like amazing.
Well, and we actually in the courthouse is this is a bronze bust that a local artist Neil Cox made. And until I started doing some research on this, I didn't realize in that beard is five different vignettes of Mackay pulling teeth and him and Minnie being coming back to Canada. So in that beard is actually sculpted out. So now more and more people are stopping to look and see, actually see what is in that beard. So he was quite the, Neil did a lot of research on Mackay as well. So once you find out about him, you kind of have to know more about him. So tickets can be purchased at 519-475-4201.
Yep.
And individual tickets are $20 each. If you have a group of 8 or more, it's $18. And groups of 15 or more are $15. And we have busloads of people coming from Toronto. And as a result, the matinees are pretty much sold out. But the show starts at 7:30, so it should be able to be finished by too late. Yeah.
And Janet, you're going to be over at this theater every day, are you, at that level of participation?
I was fortunate enough to get my tickets early, and I got matinee tickets, and really looking forward to the show.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. Wow. This is going to be great. It's a lot of work, and I'm sure and when it's all over, you'll be really glad that was on your diary or on your Facebook page or things I did.
For sure. And actually, no, you're right. It's good for your brain to keep it going keeping people organized. The other thing was our lead actor who plays Mackay is a professional actor as well. So we have two people that really know what they're doing, and they kind of keep everybody organized and heading in the right direction. Mm. And we kind of look forward to seeing how the reaction of people, because there's a lot of things that we don't know about. We didn't know about them until we started doing research, and in particular Minnie, who was a 17-year-old girl from Taiwan. Mm-hmm. She came to her and George were recalled to Canada because they didn't know, couldn't believe what he was up to, and they just became superstars, and they were filling these churches all over Canada to the limit where people were standing in the hallways and standing outside the churches. So cool that they could bring in that kind of attention.
It's just amazing. I'm so glad you can recount all these interesting stories too. That's great. There's so much. There's something for everybody.
Now it keeps reeling around my brain at night. I can learn how to shut it off a bit. But if we don't continue to pass on our history, we're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet has a lot of stuff on it, but you have to weed through all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Janet, who has lived in Zora for a long time, I mean, she knew about it because Kay was a Mackay. Well, Mackay. Mm-hmm. Mackay Mackay.
And on July 1st at the Highland Games in Embro every year, there's quite a crew that come right from Taiwan to experience the Highland Games, and they often put a performance on for us.
And what type of things do they do?
They do singing, little choir group, and mm-hmm. some dancing.
Mm-hmm. 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 A big cadre, 20 people, 10? How many people?
I'm guessing there would be 50 or more that
wow.
come.
That's a big effort.
So the ones from Embro are doing the Highland Fling, and they're the ones from Taiwan are doing a totally different performance.
In fact, this year from Toronto, there was a group that came and put on a little section of the Mackay play, and apparently it was quite entertaining, so... Mackay had this great big black beard, so usually you can identify him on stage as being the person that has the big black beard, but it's an interesting story. There's so many aspects to it, you could really make many plays about it, and how come he got missed and Bethune was like, it's a superstar, like, you know, it's kind of interesting how that came about, that we kind of missed on some of these people,
So this is interesting also, because someone had to think about doing this. Is this a citizens group in Embro who do amateur theater that doing this? Tell us a little bit more about how that all came about. You're doing your farm stuff, and all of a sudden this didn't spring out of nowhere. How long is this? What is the parent group for this?
So I'm sure maybe at one time, Jeff, you were involved with my husband, Don, in some theater groups or something like that. So Don's always been interested in theater,
right,
community theater. And so when we moved to Oxford 20-some-odd years ago, then he got involved with Thistle Theater, had started a small amateur, and have been well-known for putting on top-quality productions, especially musicals. And asked to write this show, and he was looking for someone to produce it. So he'd come and told us all the times that he'd, had a group together, but they couldn't find actors. And so finally we decided we'd just take the bull by the horn and help him produce it. Thistle Theater said they didn't really want us to use any of their actors because they are already putting on so many plays.
Right.
This fall they're putting on Brigadoon, so they said, if you do have to find your own people. So we were lucky enough that the Butts knew Edward, who was the director, who works at the Stratford Festival and had come to Mozambique and put Shakespeare on in on the Zambezi River, and Andy Pogson, who is our Mackay, was also part of this Mozambique group, so it has a kind of an interesting connection. So by having a professional director, we were able to get some pretty good top quality actors who just wanted to deal with a professional director and just see how he does things a little bit differently. And okay. Our musical director brought
so everybody's,
people as
everybody's
well.
Everybody's getting some new interesting training and experience from this.
They are, and it is because a lot of we said most people would not need experience. And our Minnie, who was an orphan brought here from China, just a lovely girl, Emily, and she's going to really stand out among the crowd. She has a lovely singing voice and has quite a presence on stage, and she's quite young,
yeah.
Even younger than Minnie was, and it's kind of interesting to see her grow with the help of a professional director.
Sounds like it's going to be quite a production. So you got the Facebook page. Listeners, just check that out. Sue, you gave us a phone number not too long ago. But the first thing is just get online, and if nothing else, Google, and it'll pop up either on the Facebook link or some other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that starts March 21st, Mackay's birthday, right?
The birthday of George Leslie Mackay. And actually, the other thing, too, is if you do... If no one else, at least if people just do some research on Mackay and we all found out a little bit more about him, then it's been all really worthwhile.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, let us play another song here.
Yeah, we'll go then to Messy Waltz and Montgomery. That's the next one down.
Number 7?
Yep.
Okay, this is called the Messy Waltz. Yeah?
6.
6? Number 6.
If you got 7, that's okay. We can do Foolish You, whatever. Whichever one you got set
Foolish
up there.
Foolish You is good.
Foolish You is nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
leave
7.
That there.
It's called Foolish You.
Okay. Miss Upton, right?
Lupton.
Allison Lupton. Okay, folks, we're back. We're freshen up that coffee. It's the Agriculture Show, episode number 111. I believe I'm losing track of some of them. 111 it is, and it's February the 13th of 2018. See you in a short bit.
Seeking fortune's favor on your own, while the one who stays beside you, foolish me, is left all alone. Sad and foolish, that's how I feel. Don't you know how fortune favors you? Fortune's blind as you, my dear. What a pity, oh foolish you. It's hardly fair. Must I go seek a fortune too? Or must I wait till folly finds its own way home to me and foolish you? Sad and foolish, that's how I feel. Don't you know how fortune favors you? Fortune's blind as you, my dear. What a pity. Oh, foolish you. Thank you.
Hi, this is Denise Hockaday from the Climate Corporation. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at channel 946, and on the internet. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, this is jazz musician, singer, and songwriter Tim Lewis, and you're listening to The Agricultural Show here on CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7.
Hi, I'm Sue.
And I'm Janet.
I'm from Woodstock.
And I'm from Embro.
We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca.
Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
You're listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio.
The WFA represents the farmer producers in the Waterloo region.
Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the Waterloo region of Waterloo.
The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Oh, I love you guys. That's great. I like that little bit of a radio DJ you got in your voice there, Sue. That's awesome.
Did no Scottish job. Accent, though.
No, I know. It was pretty funny, wasn't it? Well, listen, and this is what we're trying to do today, and you guys are just perfect. I'm just glad you're here because we're talking about bringing the news of agriculture to our urban listeners. And part of urban being urban or rural is that, you know, it's not just, it's a community. And there's community things that happen, community things like 4-H and junior farmers. And, of course, in this case, a great production coming up, Kai the Barbarian, a little bit, Barbarian. thanks for doing that. I'm glad you're here. You're great spokespersons for the agricultural industry. So that gets to our next part of our show here. Hey, you guys, what would you tell someone about agriculture? If someone walked in the door and said, what do you know about agriculture? What would you tell them?
Well, I think one of the concerns is agriculture, small-scale agriculture actually is, you know, disappearing. And as a result, we're losing a lot of our small communities. When we see how many rural schools we're losing in our area, because now a 2,000-acre farm can be run by one family, where before it would be 10 families. We live on a 50-acre farm just outside of Woodstock, and it supported a whole family. Mm-hmm. Now a 50-acre farm, there's no hope they would support a family. You almost need 2,000 acres. So we're losing our rural schools, we're losing our rural churches, and a lot of our communities are really struggling. Embro is pretty lucky because it does have a fairly strong family background, but still you see a lot of the rural churches are starting to disappear, and who's going to support aging people when if the churches start to die off and there's none of that support where people are going and just checking in on older people or young families that are struggling with mental health issues and stuff like that. We're losing that support system, and it's going to get worse, I think. What do you think, Janet, on that one?
I agree totally with you, Sue. I was probably daydreaming a bit there, thinking of what I was going to be asked next to talk about. My husband was a dairy farmer, but I chose to only feed calves and work off the farm. And my daughter-in-law, however, Wendy, has decided to stay home with her three children. And so she's doing small market gardening. However, Sue and Dawn have pretty much have an amazing business, Red Barn Berries, and we'll let Sue tell you about that.
Well, we started 30 years ago, and Don always worked off the farm as an engineer, and now we built a business up to able to employ some part-time students. We've always hired people locally. We've never had any offshore workers come on to work on the farm, and it's a great way to get to know people in your community, because we have a pick your own and people know who we are. And it's actually pretty funny, because it seems like when my parents were declining in health and I brought them to Woodstock, we were able to access resources because people could put a name to a face before, I'm not saying we jumped any hoops or any, but we definitely, people knew who you are, and they had, they understood your situation, and it certainly helped to know people in your community. There are, however, a lot of people in our community that don't know anybody else. They still focus back to their own home communities, whether it be Toronto or Kitchener, or nothing wrong with Kitchener, but I'm saying they're not learning to get to know their neighbors. And a lot of the times they're so absorbed in work and family and stuff, which is awesome, but then they're not participating in any things like theater, and they're not getting to know people in their community. Mm-hmm. And when they need their community, it's going to be more difficult to access those things. And I think a lot of people aren't accessing them, mm-hmm. and people are becoming more and more isolated. And that is a concern of mine, mm-hmm. how isolated people are becoming.
I wonder if it's, I think the same thing happens for our urban listeners too. There's all those houses packed together, but it's also true that they may not get to know their neighbor either. Maybe it's a sign of the times a little bit or something.
Yeah, I don't know. That could be. Yeah. It's just, even in our area, while Woodstock's growing urbanly, but rurally, they're just, people are, if you saw the number of houses that are being torn down that used to support, even used to be rented out to some person that's new to the community, the farmers are just knocking those houses down because they can't be bothered to have renters. It's just too much pain.
Too much work, yeah.
So there's really not only... are people being more isolated, but there aren't as many people there. They're just not anybody to send their kids to school. And so people are going further and further distance. Kids are going further on buses. And you look at some of those rural schools that used to pay a pretty big part in people's social lives.
True.
Are disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the school you guys went to.
Yeah.
Is now someone's house, right? But...
Yeah, well...
And catering business.
Oh, yeah. At Dickey Settlement.
Yeah. Settlement,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, no, it's true. When Janet and I were going to public school in the township of North Dumfries, there's actually 7 or 8 little schools, I think, right? There's Greenfield and Reedsville and Roseville and Dickey Settlement and the Riverside. What was these little schools? So, but that was consolidated into 1 or 2 major schools by the time we were getting out.
Yeah.
So it's changed.
Well, it's interesting, just getting back to Kai the Barbarian, is... George Leslie Mackay's parents went to Chalmers United Church, which became Chalmers United Church in Woodstock. Was where the first church we went to when we came to Woodstock. It's closed. Another great big huge United Church in Woodstock is closed.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no one to support those big churches. And I realize everyone's moving away from religion, and that's fine. But someone has to support our communities, and that was always the job of a lot of the times of churches. And I'm not sure who. We can't always count on government to have a paid employee to look after our needs. And so people, I think, are falling through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard an interesting perspective on that. So I was a member of a service club, and service clubs are falling in hard times with lack of membership. And then, so one of the many threads there is, when service clubs were formed in the early 1900s, in fact, there were no social services. And so if the orphans got left behind, then blind people got left behind. And so at that time, citizens grouped together. But, of course, that mandate doesn't exist anymore, which, because the government does, in fact, do all these social services, and ta-da, therefore, it's really tough for service clubs to exist. The original reason for being has been usurped by the government. So, a lot of different perspectives on why the heck things aren't.
Well, yeah, and people are busier. I mean, they're busier with their children, and kids are involved in a lot more activities, but... We don't have to hook up any horses to get to our activities, so it should. You think it would be easier to do those things, but my grandfather used to be to the Independent Order of the Odd Fellows. I don't think they exist anymore, but
I remember the name. That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, so When you talking about your farm retail business, you guys are perfect. You're the front line for a lot of agriculture, and people ask you questions about stuff. You ever had an Have you ever noticed in one of your listeners that aha moment? The lights went on that they suddenly realized something about agriculture they didn't know before because you were able to explain them to them. That's what we kind of all live for, is when we feel like we've added this to the common knowledge. Anything come to mind about that?
I can't think of anything specifically, but I do think at our place, we try and educate people. We do not grow organically. We just let people know that we're like really minimum spray and what all of that means. And I think educating people is half the battle. It's important that people learn, go home and do their homework as well. But we try to kind of spark their interest in stuff, and are always willing to provide answers. And I guess that's the advantage of going to a grower rather than someone that's a reseller. Everybody seems to want to be a farmer. And I said, if farming was easy, everybody would do it. But a lot of people say that they're farmers and they're not. And so when you ask them a question, they kind of give you the book answer. But if you actually meet a farmer, and I know in our case where we have to hand our product directly to people and make an eye-to-eye contact, you have to tell them the truth. And that's, and it's a huge responsibility to tell people the truth about food they're eating. Everyone should want to know, but not everyone gets the truth. They sometimes get the canned answer. So what's one thing that we try and do is always provide the right answer, the truth, and make sure that people are... that we're open to ask people asking us questions, because that's how you learn. And if you don't learn, then you're not moving ahead. So,
well, it makes perfect sense. And then, like I say, you guys are just right on the front lines with a typical Ontario consumer, and it's all fine and well for our large commodity groups to get the message out there with lots of even high-priced. Media companies to do that message, which they do a great job of, but at the end of the day, it's folks like yourself who really are the ones who explain that. And that's why it's so good you're here, because this is people, I believe, we have listeners, and most Ontarians are more, feel more relieved, is the wrong word, but educated by talking to a grower like yourself.
Well, I even see that with Wendy a lot more than myself, Wendy being Janet's daughter-in-law, because when we came, a lot of older people were just looking to do pick-your-own, where now it's the younger moms with their small children that are coming out to Wendy's place, and as a result, we get those people as well. But Wendy's doing a great job of connecting production with food. Okay. And that's something we need to do. There's food insecurity. It's not because people don't necessarily even have access to food. They don't know what to do with the food. So by making a connection that, like Janet will go out there and say, why don't you buy a few extra dozen or an extra dozen corn or six extra cobs, just cook it up the same time as you're doing your one, and then just cut it off and throw it in the freezer. And people just look at her like dumbfounded, like that's all it takes to make frozen corn. But if we don't educate the next generation, then we will not have people that are healthy.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Janet, you kind of want to pitch in here?
I was just going to say,
please, go ahead.
And Sue's the same. Pretty much 90% of what's on our table, we've produced and grown and picked that morning. It's so fresh as compared to going to a grocery store or some of these markets that bring everything in from the food terminal.
Yeah.
And I think people appreciate that. And once they get a taste of it, they notice a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We're so lucky in this country. You can have your food any way you like it. If you like it quick and convenient, the grocery store shipped in from who knows where, or maybe you're in a rush and it's only so much money. And then you can have the luxury of a wonderful Ontario-grown product and speak to you, both people like yourself, the actual grower, what's going on. Like, we're so lucky, huh?
Well, when you think about it, though, Jeff, by the time you drive through a drive-through at McDonald's, you can pick up half a dozen sweet corn in season and cook that for your family and throw a protein in or something, and you're set. It takes no time. It's just a matter of knowing what to do and having a little bit of education. Since we've taken... 4-H just continues to provide a little bit of that information, but not that many people are as aware of 4-H as used to be. And we've lost our food studies within the school. So how are people supposed to learn how to you know, you hear about those support groups handing people turkeys, and they're just kind of looking at them going, I have no clue what to do with this turkey.
Yeah, that's bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre.
I mean, I should talk like I'm not a chef, but it's sort of the idea it goes into a stove, right? So.
You have to thaw it first, usually, though.
Right, right. Good point. I never thought about that. Yeah, it's fine and well to have these people in education on how to run that thing. Like, you give someone a new computer, they probably would appreciate a little bit of instruction on how to turn the thing on.
Yeah.
It's really just even that basic, right? It's all about food and things like that.
Well, and a lot of people's parents didn't cook.
Yeah.
You know, I was really lucky to have a mother-in-law that was a really great cook, and so you saw what she did, and so you kind of... And now I'm doing canning and stuff like that, which my own mother didn't do. So mm-hmm. I'm learning, you know, to do that more. And I see a lot of young people, their parents maybe didn't do canning either, but they're really keen on learning how to do that. So we have a perfect opportunity right now to take advantage of that interest that young people have in where their food comes from and providing their family with good food. And we have to take advantage of that.
Well, you guys, I'm just so glad we're talking this segment of our show. That's great insight, and I really want to thank you for just talking a little bit about what it's like to be a producer and the 1 or 2% of the population is producing, and telling the story to the other, 100% are consumers, I guess.
We're all consumers.
That's true.
Yeah.
So,
thanks. Well, and you have some great farmers in Waterloo County. There's no two ways about it. I have... Stop at a lot of roadside stands when in Waterloo County because there's some pretty outstanding farmers there.
I like bringing farmers in like yourself. Last week was David Banbury from Banbury Grasslands, and it's grass-fed beef.
Oh, nice. Oh,
okay. Guy's been living here for a few years, and you'll have to go back, as you will, with this great podcast and look at all the great past episodes of the Agriculture Show and listening to all kinds of great stories and great music and... Let's play some more music here. I think. What one do you want to play next year, Sue?
Either 10 or 11 would be fine. There's a jig there, or there's a reel. Let's go with 11. Eddie.
11. Okay.
The 11 is Eddie Power of Ours reel.
Does that make sense, Janet? That
I think so.
I think so.
We should have all brought our glasses.
I know. I got my other glass in the truck, but here we go. Thanks for listening, folks. Just stand by. We're right back.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio, Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Hello, this is the Tugboat of the Tugboat.ca. Community Radio CKMS is the voice of the people, by the people. I support CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo.ca because it's the real deal.
Well, I'm so lucky. I have all kinds of really fun guests come in, and they do a little promo for the station, for this show, and for community radio in general. And I just want to thank you guys. It was a fun thing you did there earlier on in the previous segment. So, okay. Well, we're just moving along pretty good. It's a lot of fun. We are now in about segment number 4. And what we want to do is to just kind of review what we've done already. So, and then, because there'd be things that might come up in conversation we want to talk about again. So, you know, starting from the beginning, you know, we find out there y'all living there in Oxford County and got kids doing this and a little bit of traveling going on. Didn't find out whether maybe you were doing some, you know, rock climbing at the or other building a boat in the basement or something. Just
well, Don's building a cannon today.
That's right, the cannon. I'm glad you brought that up. What's Bill doing today?
Not sure, but I can tell you what my daughter's been doing the last year. Yeah. She has been hiking the Appalachian Trail. She took 6 months off work to do that, and she's going back in 2 weeks' time. I'm driving her back down to Harper's Ferry, Virginia, and she's going to finish a section that she missed. So that's quite a trek. It's over 2,000 miles, and it takes a good 6 months to do. But because she's not American, she can only spend 120 days or whatever it is in the States. So.
And what part of the trail is it?
The Appalachian Trail, starts in...
into South Carolina. North
Georgia,
Carolina.
Isn't it?
It starts in Georgia.
Right.
And ends in Maine.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. And lots of hills.
Yeah, mountains. Yeah. I did the first 2.5 days with her, and that was a challenge. And
Didn't you end up on your face?
Well, that's another story. And then I said goodbye, and off she went. And then, she had a great visit. She went on her own, and you have your trail family. Within a few weeks, you've met other people that are on your own, and they become your trail family. Yeah. She hiked with a lovely girl from Connecticut with a dog, and they had a great time.
Well, that good, happy trails. Does she take along an extra pair of shoes, or how do they manage their footwear?
Just three pairs of shoes through there.
Yeah.
And, so you only carry about... You carry about 4 to 5 days of food on your back, so yes. You want to keep your pack under 35 pounds if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wear the clothes you've got, and you put on dry, long underwear to wear it in your sleeping bag at night. And when you come to a hostel, they give you a towel and a bar of soap and hostel clothes to wear while they do your laundry.
Very nice. That's an established trail. What? 50 years, 100 years, who knows? It's on the Appalachian Trail. That's just been around forever. It's good. It sounds like it's a great,
beautiful part of the world when you start in Georgia. It's all rhododendrons, like 10 feet, 15 feet tall. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about all the community volunteers that are there to make sure that there's people to pick people up to take them to hostels and a support system. You need a doctor, you need a vet for your dog. There's all sorts of... And there's trail angels, and they provide, what do they do?
So you're walking along the trail, and all of a sudden there's a car or a van parked there, and there's some coolers, and they hand out drinks, or they hand out food, or they're making hot dogs or hamburgs. And so you're always very appreciative of a trail angel, because you get kind of tired of dehydrated food after a while.
A little chewy, huh?
Some of Rebecca's pictures were phenomenal, though. She took a lot of beautiful pictures at sunrise and sunset and up in those mountains of the Appalachian Mountains. It's just striking.
One of those, she's 28, and it was she was ready for a change in her job, and she'd been 4 years at the same job and needed a change, so it was a perfect time to do it.
Sounds like good stuff. And that was our second segment. We talked about Kai the Barbarian. Let's just review all the stuff there. Let's not forget right off the bat. Just give us how you hook up with this thing. The Facebook page, tell us all that kind of stuff.
Kai the Barbarian is about the George Leslie Mackay story, an Azor lad who 174 years ago went to Taiwan and is still a national hero there. Mm-hmm. And the show runs from the 21st to the 31st of March. And there are two matinees on the 25th and 31st. Otherwise, tickets are available by calling 519-475-4201 or go online to ticketscene.ca. And it's at the Embro Town Hall, which is 120 years old, and has recently had an outdoor lift put up. It looked like the CN Tower now. We have access through the outside to go to the second floor, and up to this point in time, the theater has not been accessible. So it's kind of nice to know that now it's an opportunity for anyone to come and see the show. Mm-hmm.
And whose initiative was to put that on that building?
Don had a little bit to do with my husband. Yeah. Don had a little bit to do with it. Thistle Theater was a bit of a pusher, and Wendy Marshall from one of our neighbors applied for a Ontario 150 grant. Yeah. And got that. And there's been a lot of public money gone into it. A lot of people have written checks and to help support it. They did put a whole new accessible bathroom in a two-story lift, and it's quite remarkable. If you go to the Thistle Theater website, thistle-theater.com, you can actually see the lift, and it's all glass. It's quite a beautiful addition to our town hall, because otherwise in a number of years it was going to have to be decommissioned, because every building has to be accessible.
Right. So how long has there been a community, like how long did it take to get this thing, all this work done? You thought somebody would say, well, we got to do something, and somebody say, well, let's make a committee on this, somebody say, let's apply for this. How many years or months or did it take to go from hey, let's do something to actually turning it on for the first time?
For the lift?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was less than a year. It's pretty impressive, actually. All right. There is only one company that puts a kind of exterior lifts on buildings, and they were able to get a hold of them, and they did the engineering work, and a lot... they had the engineering of the lift, and then we had a local engineering company came in, and we have a wonderful bricklayer that is in Zora. So they tried to use as many local of the talent as they could.
Yep, good stuff. You're lucky. You're living in a pretty vibrant community. That's good. You guys are all just
little town of Embro. When you think of even when we moved there 25 years ago, there was all sorts of grocery stores, and now we're getting less and less, but. It still has a big heart, Embro. So yeah.
Population of 600.
All right. Is there still a? Oh, we talked about. So where's your healthcare center? Where's the closest one? Woodstock, then, I would suspect.
Woodstock, Stratford, St. Mary's.
Yeah.
London.
We have a brand new hospital in Woodstock.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, in London, really. Yeah. Anybody that needs anything serious, you go to UH in London. Yeah. You'll be there pretty 20 minutes less.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Okay, yeah. So that's not bad. It's a good deal.
We are still very short of doctors in Woodstock. So if there's anybody listening that lives in the Kitchener-Waterloo area that wants to be a doctor in Woodstock, we're short 14 family doctors. So imagine that's a serious issue. So a lot of people are keeping their own doctors back at wherever they came from, because they cannot get a doctor in Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's an ongoing thing. A lot of municipalities even have special committees struck to attract doctors from other locations, jurisdictions, attract new doctors from graduating, and all kinds. Ongoing. And schools, the school boards everywhere are trying to cut costs, they're closing stuff. Embro probably did have a, does it still have a public school? Or?
Yes, it's got a school with probably a little over 200 students, is my guess. But I remember at one time it had 400.
Wow.
But it's a school similar to Cecil Cornwell, out in the middle of the country, and great big playground for kids, and baseball diamonds, and soccer fields, and track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about high school? Where do kids go for high school up your way?
Woodstock, Ingersoll, St. Mary's, Stratford.
Yeah. Well, that's, you got quite a choice. It's probably all about the same distance, right?
But it is kind of a problem, too, because like when our kids went to Tollgate, and then they went to Hickson, then they would go to four or five different high schools. So, you build these relationships with people, and then they go off to a different high school.
Yeah.
And you have to rebuild, start all over again. So, but we do have quite a good French first language school in Woodstock. It's a K to 12 school, which I guess is the new way we're headed is to have, but it seems like such a big age range when you think about it, that there's 3-year-olds, JK to grade 12. So 3-year-olds to 18-year-olds all in the same school.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty unique, actually. Yeah. Seems to me that's not a bad idea. However, yeah. I don't know. It goes back to one-room school days when, I can remember one-room school. I don't know what I think of it now. You know, you go out and play baseball during the break, and it was the grade is against everybody because they were bigger. They were playing soccer. It was crazy. All you could do is stop the grades and mob them with about four people to slow them down.
Well, Don always talks about Annie over at the Roseville School and how some big families, and they double lock their arms, and this little kid would come running in with the ball and trying to get through and completely knocked right out, right? Well, we can't do that nowadays. You can't even throw snowballs in the field out in the playground anymore.
Yeah. It's certainly has changed, and we can see that. Okay, that's good stuff. It's such a nice to hear about what y'all are doing there and following up on that. And we talked about Kai the Barbarian. What was our message about agriculture? Get out and talk to a farmer. What was our message to our urban listeners about agriculture?
We have a real opportunity to touch base with farmers. And I always encourage people to make sure they connect with a real life farmer and get the truth.
Yeah.
Buy local.
Fresh, all those great slogans.
Yep, and touch base with young people that are trying to get. It's hard to get into agriculture. It's so expensive. So if you have a young family like Wendy, like Janet's daughter-in-law, then connect with them and try and encourage them to buy CSAs and all that kind of stuff. So that encourage young people that want to get into agriculture. We need them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure there's lots out there. You know, I noticed our local 4-H club, but I can still stick to my mind 10 members in the dairy club. But only two of them are from dairy farms, and other farmers give them, here's a cow to practice with. That's how the step they're going forward to. Because it doesn't make sense to me that there's other people out there who are just perfectly in tune with being great farmers, but they just don't have the connection. Right?
Yeah.
They may live in downtown Toronto. They'd be great farmers, but how do we find those people?
There's a community in Woodstock, and there's this really old beat up door, and on the sign there's a little sign on the door that says Born to Farm, and every time I go by that kind of breaks my heart, because I know somewhere in that townhouse is someone that wants to farm,
right.
And they may never get that opportunity, and it's we've been really lucky, all three of us, to have something to do with agriculture, and we've been quite fortunate.
So we had a lot of fun with all those topics, and we could talk some more about it. We're going to play another song before we get into our final segment here. Any last words? No, let's just play the song and we'll come back. What do you think we should be pressing the button on here?
Well, let's go. Maybe we could play the last one.
Okay. What is the number of that? 11?
Sure. What is it?
11.
Okay. 11. What's it called?
Winter's Coming On.
Hopefully it's going away.
All right. We'll be back soon.
With Allison Lupton.
Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Cheyenne Richardson from the Rare Charitable Research Reserve in Cambridge. This is Community Radio CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946 or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The WFA represents farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
I'm Owen Roberts from the GMOs. You are listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, or on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, or on the internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music.
And there we go, and we're back. And thanks for listening today, folks, to the Agriculture Show, episode number 111. And thanks for just spending an hour or two with us. And hope you enjoy listening to Janet and Sue talking about all kinds of wonderful, cool things. We could go on forever, but we're in the last bit of our show, and I just want to leave them a favorite question to last here, and I'll ask in no particular order. So maybe, Janet, you want to start. What are you doing in the next 2 hours? 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years if you want to go that far.
So in the next 2 days, we have a business in our community called Patchwork Quilts, run by Deb Eddy.
Yeah.
And it's out in the country right across, pretty much down the road from the outdoor farm show site. And so I'm taking a course from her. She's an amazing instructor, called Block of the Month. So once a month we go for 2 hours and we learn how to make a different block each month, and then by the end of the year we have enough to make a queen size quilt. So that's what I'm busy at
for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. I will probably, I'm not sure what Sue and I are doing, we'll probably go for a bowl of soup and head back to Woodstock.
And that's why in the next 2 days there.
Oh, that's in 2 days is the quilt course.
Okay, and then 2 weeks.
2 weeks I'll be down in Harbors Ferry, Virginia, taking Rebecca to the Appalachian Trail.
Oh my gosh. And 2 months?
2 months. Well, unfortunately, my husband Bill is in looking for a kidney. If anyone has a kidney to donate, that's a blood type O. So I think in 2 months' time, he will probably be on dialysis, so that will keep me busy.
Yeah, I will. Well, I'm glad you have good spirits. I'm sure it'll be fine. Hello, Bill.
You asked. How are you
doing? Yeah, I know. I can hardly ask. What about 2 years? What's going to happen
in
then?
2 years' time? That's a really good question. Well, Bill's sister bought a business in Antigua, right at Jolly Beach, called Salty Dog Rentals. And so we'd like to visit her business in Antigua.
Mm, that'd be nice. Wow. How are we doing? 2 years or two? And two? Is that 2 years? I like your story. It's great.
Yeah, that's in 2 years' time.
Okay,
and
20 years is over the horizon.
20 years, I'll be 84.
Yeah.
So, not quite sure.
That's as you should. Yeah, here you go. Well, thanks for doing that. And Sue, tell us about yourself. What are you doing next two hours?
Jen and I are going to head back to Woodstock. And then our youngest son, Andrew, has autism. And so every Tuesday, I pick him up and bring him home.
Yeah.
And we do, he's a Lego maniac. We put together a Lego. He loves to listen to music and play on the computer. So we'll do that. In 2 days, tomorrow night, one of the parts of our play, Kai the Barbarian, I'm the co-producer, and Dawn is off promoting the show, so I am putting together a shadow puppet production, which I know nothing about, but I will try to figure out how to make all that work. And but our wonderful director will be there, so it's all good. 2 weeks, we're big into our play right now, and our 2 weeks' time, our tomato plants come that will start our greenhouse operation again for another year.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years' time, We are, Don and I are planning to go to Omer Ammergau, because once there's a passion play that they put on at the town of Omer Ammergau, mm-hmm. they put it on every 10 years, and they've been putting on it for 600 years, and there's 2,500 people in the production. And 2020 is the year that they're putting in the production on. So we're trying to get a little group of friends together to go and see mm-hmm. and stay in the town of Omer Ammergau and just explore a little bit more about that mm-hmm. ancient part of Germany, which is quite fascinating.
Yeah, nice. That's something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. So that's in 2 years?
Yeah. And we thought we better do it this time, because in 10 years' time, that's getting to the point where, you know, you're not always sure. So our philosophy is travel while we are still young enough to enjoy it. Yeah. And yeah.
This is good. I always love this question. You guys are up to some cool stuff. It's super.
You asked.
I know. And good luck with all the challenges and enjoy the successes. And sounds like it's going to work out just fine. So with that, listen, I just want to thank you so much for coming in today. A lot of fun. We talked about all kinds of cool stuff. And folks, go see Kai the Barbarian, Embro, March 21st to March
31st.
Okay, with that, thanks again for coming in. And with that, folks, we'll see you next week for the Agriculture Show. And remember, if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And as farmers, we're grateful that you are buying our stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. See you later, folks. Take care. Bye for now.